Yes, I greet you once more again. Welcome to this day, the Lord that He has created for us. We come here to worship Him, to glorify His name and honor Him, in which we continue to read His word faithfully. Our sermon today will be in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. The title is very simple and direct: Preach the Word. So I will read in verse 1, it reads, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, by His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reproof, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you, Father, for this is your reading, Almighty Lord. We pray that, Father, open up our hearts and let us, Almighty Lord, Father, grasp, Father, your word. And let, Father, your spirit, Father, be with us. And let it, Father, help us understand, Father, your word. And, Father, we pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, as we are gathering here today, we know how the world is very difficult. We are living in a fallen world, very hard. It's not easy to live in this world. It has become more and more and more difficult, in which we are fighting one another. Satan is busy and trying by all means to create the confusion amongst us, in which now we go in this book and Paul is reminding this young pastor, Timothy, to preach the word and continue to stand for the truth. You know, when I was in seminary, I enjoyed one of the classes called the church history. You know, when you go in that class, when you are learning the church history, and you look at today, you see like nothing is new. All these things we are seeing happened before. All these viruses which are coming and the lockdowns, and we go back in history, we see the Black Death, we see all many viruses, you know, which took place and how they affected the church. And the church was always the blame and the persecuted. And it always turned again the eye to blame the Jews, to say it's because of the Jews. Nothing is new. You know, church history class, you know, we learn about all the Reformation which came in. I thank God, you know, to the men like Luther, Martin Luther, who uncovered the biblical gospel of grace, and that he longed to make it known that salvation is a gift of God's grace alone. found in Jesus Christ alone, received by simple faith alone, and we know that for certain through Scripture alone, all the glory of God alone. Thank God for Luther's immovable affirmation, "Here I stand, for I can do no other. Today we stand by the Sola Five churches." And Zwingli, who stopped preaching through set readings and started to preach his way through the whole books of the Bible, beginning with the Gospel according to Matthew, and then carrying on from there. And for Calvin's dedication to unleash the Word of God and to trust the Word of God to do the work of God by the Spirit of God. With great Bible confidence, he trusted God's Word to do its work. These men all understood that God brings life and new life into being only through His Word. Preaching the Word was at the heart of the Reformation. By the grace of God, all of these men wanted to be faithful to the charge that Paul gives to Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2, to preach the Word. So now we are going to spend the next few minutes focusing on what Paul commissioned Timothy to do and why he commissioned him to do it. We'll see that there are only two points which we are going to see in these verses. I divided it into two aspects, points. The first one we see in verses 1 to 2, where it says what the charge is. We want to know what the charge is, in which we see in verses 1 to 2 says, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reproof, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." This is the first point here in the sub point of what we are seeing, what the charge is. We are seeing here that these are some of the very last words that Paul writes to a young pastor. And so these are his parting words to a young pastor, Timothy. Paul is not writing just for fun to some individual guy, but he's writing to the church leader, to the shepherd of the flock, to the pastor. He is talking to the minister about completing the task. And he has made it clear that there is danger or threat all around from all the opposition groups who doesn't rest planning to silence you. We are seeing it even today. When you stand for the truth, when the church is preaching the gospel of truth, what do we see in the world? The government says it's hate speech, isn't it? It comes to you to silence you, to silence the church, to say, hey, you must make sure you don't preach about these things because it's hate speech. You don't have to speak about sin, it's hate speech. You don't need to speak about this and that, it's hate speech. Just speak about love. God is love. So Paul is writing to this young man. And we know that why, because Paul himself experienced and witnessed that from all his three missionary journeys, and is writing from prison for the sake of the gospel. He is in prison. Now he knows he has walked through his entire life, going different areas, and the people rejecting his word, the word of truth, which he was bringing to them. And there are rifts or divisions everywhere because people are deviating from the truth. And those who have turned away from the truth have abandoned and deserted Paul. We go through all the letters which Paul wrote. We see he even mentioned some of the names to say, these ones, they deserted me. They went away. Right. They got so tired, of continuing, preaching the truth. Because some things were coming to say, hey, this Jesus you are talking about has already came and he's gone. So why are you wasting your time? So those who are faithful in the word of truth will have enemies on every side. We see it, especially during the time of COVID. What has happened a lot throughout the world? The whole world. Some pastors have been put in prison, right? Just because they wanted to continue preaching the word. Churches were closed down, but bars and taverns, it was okay for you to continue going there and meeting up. But for you to come and gather, to worship, he said, no. It's a super spreader. So we see all those things happen even in our way, in our world today. The arrows during the time of Paul and bullets in our generation will fly, their hardships will come, and the obstacles will be daunting, dreadful. So Paul is telling Timothy, which clearly applies to us as well today, what do you do in the situation of crisis? You preach the word. What do you preach is another question to ask. What do you preach yourself? The word. What kind of word? Because there are many words which people are preaching outside there. There are plenty preachers. But what kind of word are you preaching? Because this kind of word, I am charging you, is not just any kind of word, but true word of God. Of Jesus Christ, of the judge who has the power to judge the living and the dead. That's the word which I'm charging you, Timothy, to preach. Not any other word. Right. And then we see also the charge is to preach the word. It is a call to bold endurance, to preach God's word, to speak what God has spoken, to pass on to others the good collateral, the sound teaching, the truth, the faith, the word of God. So Paul is writing to Timothy, the young minister, and is telling him that in his context, the ministry is the ministry of the word of God. And this word of God is of truth. It doesn't change. Even during the time of Paul and in our time, we are so blessed today because we have the whole canon, we have the whole Bible. But during the time when Paul was writing to Timothy, it was just a letter which went to Timothy. Today we are so blessed. We have everything in our hands. So my fellow brothers and sisters, the ministry is the ministry of the word. For I say to you, the Bible must be the center and in our driver's seat, in our lives. Paul gives Timothy some great comfort here in verses 1. Number one, he is assuring that he is not alone. He is assuring Timothy that he is not alone. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, preach the word. You are not alone, Timothy. We know that it's hard for you. You are surrounded by these difficult Jews, right? They are so hard, but you are not alone. When you are preaching this word, you are in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. So do not be afraid. Because one of the things what Paul was telling him to do, it was difficult. Why? Because the Jews were so prideful about their culture and their heritage. And remember that Timothy was a mixed breed, right? We call it a mixed breed. Yeah. Today we'll say, it's like my children, they're a mixed breed, right? That was Timothy. Because his father was Greek, but the mother was Jew. So Timothy did not have a heritage, right, in which he says, I am the son of who and who. Because the Jews were so prideful when it comes to that. To say, I'm the son of Isaiah. Isaiah, the son of. And that son of, the son of. That's how they were. So now Timothy was so, now, you know, in that position where he's surrounded by those people. And he's a young pastor. Paul is not there. Right. So he said, no, no, no. Don't worry about anything. You continue to preach the word because you are in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ. Number two, he also calls Timothy to faithfulness, reminding him that this is what God wants him to do. By God's grace, he is to keep on doing it. No matter what, you need to be faithful. No matter what, no matter the oppositions which are coming towards you, the pressure which is coming to you, do not change. Be faithful to the word. Right? And number three, what we see also, right, is that just keep telling people the gospel, Timothy. Do not change. Do not hesitate. Tell the gospel. Remember who you are serving and preach the word, right? You are not saving men, Timothy. You are not saving men. Remember that you are saving Jesus Christ. So you are entitled, you know, and you should continue, right, preaching this word, right, and continue saving, right. Jesus is coming again, and when he comes, he is going to judge the living and the dead and perfect his kingdom. And the only people that he is going to give the crown of righteousness to are those who loved his appearing. We see it in verse 8. Right. Only those who by faith have received everything that Jesus purchased for us on the cross, trusting him and his finished work in our place. And only those who are looking forward to his coming again and have their hearts set on it will receive the crown of life. So Paul here is reminding that Timothy to say, hey, what you should be afraid of, right, is this guy who is Jesus, who is righteous, right, who is to judge the living and the dead, right? So this guy is very, very important. So you should be faithful to him because he has the power to judge the living and the dead. So since the only people who are saved from the wrath and judgment of God and have their sins forgiven and are restored to right relationship with him now and forever are those who receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior and really look forward to his coming again. Preach the word. It's a charge indirect because during that time it was even difficult. In our world of today, we have WhatsApp, right? 2020 WhatsApp, the message goes to Max. 2020 message goes to Richard. Is there? We can even call, right? During that time, it was even difficult, right? Very hard, but he was being reminded to say, stay faithful, young man, right? The opposition is serious, right? But you remain faithful and keep all these ones, for these will comfort you. You are not alone, right? The only way that people are rescued from death and judgment and hell is through Jesus. So preach the gospel, Timothy. From that judgment, which is coming, from that righteous judge who is coming to judge the living and the dead, you need to continue preaching that gospel. Be alert, right, and eager, and be constant and earnest. We see in verse 2. Right? Preach the word when all is well, And when everyone is happy for you to do it, and when it is convenient, and preach the word when you are the last man standing. Because sometimes, you know, we struggle to understand when it says, right, you know, in season and out of season. Sometimes think, okay, maybe there is season, and there is sometimes when there's out of season. Paul here is saying to him, hey, sometimes, you know, you come and preach the gospel, people will welcome you, right? They will be so happy to welcome you and welcome your message, right? So preach the word. And sometimes, right, they will even reject you, right? Paul has got, he has a first witness, right? He has a testimony, right, to Timothy, where in sometimes he goes in a town and he preaches the word and people will come, right? And sometimes they will say, hey, they stone. They put them in prison, right? They even beat them, right? So Paul, that's what he's talking about here. That's the in season and out of season, right? So, you know, continue to preach that word, you know, even if you are the only man standing. Do not hesitate. Do not feel lonely because you are not alone, right? Jesus Christ is there and God is there for you. He is witnessing. Right? And then he says here, right, do all of that stuff, right? As we see in chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, say that you are equipped to do when it says all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Don't be frightened. God is in control. His word is true. And his gospel is the power for salvation to all who believe. That's what Paul is charging here and continues saying to Timothy. Just patiently, persistently, gently, and faithfully keep on preaching the word. Make it clear. Stay after it. And keep preaching the word. So, you know, as pastors, you know, it's difficult, especially in this world. Many people, there is lots of divisions which are coming in churches because of the pressure which is coming from the governments, from the other groups, groups which are rising in the world, which are so opposite, you know. They hate the truth. They are so angry with the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. So it's very, very difficult. So for pastors, you know, we need to be calm, you know, to keep calm, which is very hard, you know, because we know even Peter, you know, he even took the sword, like, let's fight, you know. Well, let's fight, you know, we need to go to war and fight. And Jesus said, no. Don't you think I could have called angels to come and do that? Yeah. This has to happen, right? To fulfill the scripture. Right? So we need to keep calm. In our calmness, right, we preach the true word. We don't change. The true churches, there are many true churches in the world which will need to continue to need our prayers here, right? In all different parts of the world, which are going difficult times as well. Paul goes on to give Timothy two reasons for this awesome charge. For they are signaled in the text by the conjunction which we see four in verse 3 and 4 in verse 6. And they lead us to our, you know, into our final heading, which we say, why the charge is given. Why the charge is given, verses 3 to 8. Verses 3 to 8. In point A there, Paul gives Timothy two reasons to press on in his word labor. The first is because people will be turning away from the truth. People will be turning away from the truth. And we see it in our own world today. People, they don't want the truth. People, they hate the truth. And the governments as well are dancing according to the tune. Because it's all about money, 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 money. The truth is being neglected. The second is because Paul is standing in the end zone of his life. He is going to heaven. So let's have a look at them both together here, right? In verses 3 to 5, right? For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Paul's warning to Timothy also applies to us today, that there will be dark and difficult days lying ahead, and where you face people who don't like the gospel. For they will go and find themselves teachers to teach them other things that suit their desires. Because if we read in Romans chapter 1, let's quickly turn in Romans chapter 1, verses 18, we see that also Paul writing about that. Romans chapter 1, verses 18. It says here, right? It says here, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And in verse 19, it says, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, been understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. 23, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible men, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. 24, therefore, God gave them over in their lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies will be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged their natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. This is what we are seeing here. This is what we are seeing here, to say they gathered themselves, and we are seeing them even today. We are seeing them even today. Because we were talking yesterday with my wife here to say, wow, you know, there is one church there in the U.S., right? They have a service, right? And they have a second service for the drag queens, right? Yeah. The church, they even changed it. It used to be Methodist. They changed it to Hope. Now it's called Hope, right? So they have a service, right, for, here say, yeah, we can do this. Then we can also have a service for the drag queens and all these ones. So that, because God is love, right? And what are the Bible saying now here? They will gather for themselves, right? They will gather for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And we are seeing it, right? People are going to dislike and despise and even hate the gospel. They cannot endure the gospel. They cannot stand the gospel. They cannot listen to the gospel. How do you respond to that? You keep on preaching the gospel of truth. As for you, you just keep on preaching what accords with sound doctrine. 2 Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. For surely these people who wandered away from the truth, one, will try to replace it with something else. They will gather up an immeasurable assembly of false teachers who will tell them what they want to hear, right? Those who follow the news, those who follow what is happening, we have Kanye West in the world, right? Yes, I'm a believer now. I believe in Jesus Christ. But hey, now I can write my own Bible. I replace everywhere where it says God and say Kanye. Have you seen that yet? He has his own Bible now where he replaced everywhere where it says God with his name. In the beginning, Kanye, right, created the world, the heavens, and the earth. He removed God and put Kanye, right? And those people are the celebrities, right? And this is where most of our children are trying to follow and be their role models. You can Google it at home. There's a new Bible now. There's a new Bible now. Right? Secondly, they will exchange the truth of God for myths that tickles to their ears. First of all, they will decide what they want to hear. And the governments are doing that, right? Hey, don't preach about that. Don't talk about that, right? You can go to prison for that. Mm-hmm. Right? And then they will get a bunch of people to tell them what they want to hear. Because Satan is at work. Satan is at work full time, 24/7. He doesn't rest. Because his mission is to deceive and to destroy that what God has created. Because Satan, right, he is a loser, right? He is a loser because he knows his fate, right? He knows it. But he said, I don't want to fall alone, right? I need also followers, right, to follow me, right? How do you respond to that? Right. Your response to that is that don't be tossed with their winds and waves of their doctrines, but you keep on preaching the gospel. Preach all, be steady, be sober, and be persistent. Timothy is to fulfill his ministry. He is to keep on preaching even in the face of people turning away. You can remain one. It's okay. But you are not alone. God is there, and Christ Jesus is there. Right? Right? In verses 6 to 8, we see here, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." And as he is to keep on preaching, right, Paul here is telling Timothy, hey, me, I'm going to heaven. He has assurance here. Paul is passing on his fishing rod to a faithful preaching, to Timothy. Right. He's saying, now, I'm passing this to you. Paul has been, look upon to me, right? I'm a testimony. Look how I walked, right? Paul has given him a good example of gospel endurance, and he's telling Timothy to take it on. That is what he says in verse 6-8. Paul is already on the point of death, in the end zone of his life. His life's labor is about to close. By the grace of God, he has been faithful. He has been a faithful soldier, and he has faithfully guarded the good collateral. And now all that remains for him is that great prize that Jesus will give him. Paul is not suggesting some kind of salvation by works here. No, not at all. Salvation is by the free sovereign grace given to us through faith in Jesus. Salvation is a free gift of God's grace, but an evidence of salvation is persistent trust in the Lord Jesus, and a pleasant yearning for his appearing. Paul has lived like that, and now he is telling Timothy to live like that. Paul is passing on the declaration of the gospel to Timothy, who is to pass it on to others, who are to pass it on to others, and so on, with the solemn charge, preach the word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. So, as we conclude here, there are two points which we need to see in our world today. With all this being said, and you listening to all of this, and you are not a preaching pastor, you see, or a preaching brother, or a preaching sister, right? Well, sometimes we think like, okay, it's the job for the pastors, right? But it's the job for us all, right? God has given us different areas to preach to, right? In our workplace, in our families, right? Different areas, right? Here is the application for you. It is to realize that, we are called to be preaching pastors of the true word of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So Pastor Richard, when he's here, and you go, you look, his friends, right? And the churches he is partnering with, right? Are the churches of like-minded, right? Who stand for the truth? Who defend the truth? Who are not ashamed of the gospel of truth? Right? It is to exhort to this work and must be done. This work must be done. It is to stay spiritually fit. Always remember that the ministry is the ministry of the word, and please give yourselves to it. Jesus is coming again, and his gospel is the power of God to the salvation of all who believe. People will turn away from the truth, and faithful preaching is needed. Those who are faithful, who have faithfully preached the word before us, are going to heaven. By the grace of God, we need to carry on the work. The second point here, which is my last one, the Lord is with us. His grace is sufficient. No wonder Paul ends the letter in verse 22 by saying, The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. That's what we see in this. Let's bow our heads and pray. Yes, our dearly Heavenly Father, we come before you again. We thank you, Almighty Lord, for your word. We thank you, Almighty Lord, that we know that it's not easy, Almighty Lord. We are living, Father, in this fallen world. It's so difficult, Almighty Lord. As Jesus said, that this cup you are looking for, right, it's not an easy cup for you to drink. The path for us to walk has got thorns. It has got stumps. It has got many obstacles, Almighty Lord. But you send your Son to be our example. And we have got many men in the history of this world who walked, Almighty Lord, and preached this word so that it can reach to us today. Father, we continue to pray that, Father, be with us and open up our hearts and our minds, Almighty Lord, to grasp your word. As we go into the world, Almighty Lord, we know that, Father, we are not alone. When the opposition comes and rises, Almighty Lord, sometimes we feel so lonely, but we need to be reminded that you are there and our Lord Jesus Christ is with us. And the Spirit, Almighty Lord, the Holy Spirit is with us and is indwelling in our bodies. Father, we pray that you continue to bless us. You continue to minister in our lives. Father, we pray, Father, for the church, Father, to continue to stand for the truth. The pastors, Almighty Lord, to preach the word of salvation without fear, Almighty Lord, or ashamed, Father, of the gospel of salvation. Father, I pray, Father, for each and everyone here, Father, and those, Father, who did not make it, Almighty Lord, who are not feeling well, Father, we put, Father, them in your hands, that, Father, please heal them and let them, Father, be revived their bodies, Father, and be healthy, Almighty Lord. And Father, we pray also for Pastor Richard, Almighty Lord, as he is away, Father, to be with him, Almighty Lord, and the time, Father, he is having, Almighty Lord. And pray, Father, in Christ Jesus' name, we glorify your name. Amen.